Everybody rise on your feet. What an evocative name. Adonai. Lord Adonai. The mention of that name stirs everything within me. We'll sing that song. Don't change the key. Go back to the original key. Don't change the key. We'll pick that worship again. Thank you for leading us in worship. Everybody. That's the glorious name that saved us. The glorious name which we are called. The name of the King of the universe. And we can only rise by that name. We worship me again. Come on, let's do it again. Come on, son. Come on, pick it.
Lift your hands, everybody.
You are Adonai.
that majestic name, that glorious name, the name that rules the universe, Lord Adonai, Lord Adonai, Lord Adonai, we tremble at your presence, Lord Adonai. Tremble at your presence, Lord Adonai. We glorify your majestic name, Lord Adonai. We reverence your majestic name, Jesus. 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 Today. And this Lord Adonai, we lift you to a height you never dreamt possible. Beyond your imagination, He will lift you. Beyond your expectation, He will exalt you. Your word will come today. Word of the Lord today will come alive to you. The word of the Lord today will be relevant to you. The word of the Lord today will mark your life permanently. Permanently. You will look back to this day, you will dance for joy. You will look back to this day, you will glorify the Lord. It is well with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. To the man of Gadara, that have been troubled by thousands of demons. You see, the human capacity is limitless. Look at me very well. The elasticity of human spirit is like God. Because he made us after his image. After his likeness. When Jesus asked the demon that was speaking, he said, "We are legion." Legion. That's a Roman numeration for 6,000. 6,000 demons inside one man. What? 6,000? One demon is enough a trouble. 6,000? No wonder the man will cut himself and will sleep in the grave and they will tie with chain and will break everything. 6,000 demons. That is what one human spirit can contain. And can carry more. Only that only 6,000 chose to live inside him. 6,000. And Jesus Christ uttered one word. Go. Somebody say go. How long does it take to say go? Go. One word. And 6,000 demons were expelled at once. That's the power of God's word. One word. Two letters. Go. And 6,000 demons had no choice. They must go. When the word of God comes, everything must give way. Whatever had stopped you from greatness will give way today. In the name of Jesus. You see, I'm leaning on my staff today to bless you. When I was getting ready for this meeting, I said, God, even if it is one, raise a champion here today. And God will produce a champion. And champions are produced by his word and his spirit. And you will see the message of today. So, I said, human spirit is capable of anything. Did you hear me? That the elasticity is as wide as God because he made us in his image. In July, I was in Seattle, in the United States of America, to visit our church there. I was visiting our churches around in preparation for the North American Convention. My daughter Muji was there. And Seattle is the headquarter of Boeing factory, where they manufacture all the Boeing plane. Boeing 747, Boeing 777, Boeing 787. And their factory is the largest building in the entire world in terms of size. And they took us around. They took us around some places in bus and some places through conveyor belt and were showing us stuff. And I saw giant airplanes that will fly at incredible speed, at incredible heights. And it was a product of the mind of man, even in a fallen state. You didn't hear me. In a fallen state. So you have no business with smallness at all. The spirit that is in you was made in the image of God. Smallness does not belong here. Somebody declare, say smallness. Smallness. You're not serious. Say smallness. Smallness. Does not belong. Here. Yeah. Say it again. Say smallness. Smallness. Does not belong. Here. Yeah. So you think big. You think mega. You think great.
it one step. You start small. Take one small step. And take another small step. And take another small step. And don't stop. Tell your neighbor, don't stop. Whatever is tempting you to stop wants to destroy you and frustrate your destiny. Don't stop. Tell him, don't stop. Don't let sin stop you. The blood of Jesus Christ dealt with that. Don't let the devil stop you. Calvary finished him forever. Don't let sickness stop you. By stripes you are healed. Don't let lack stop you. Lack is only apparent. It's on the surface. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is the honor of the king to search it out. Where it looks like there is lack, dig deeper. Beneath what appears on the surface is abundance. Don't let anything stop. Don't let anything. Don't let anything stop you. Somebody declare, say, I'm unstoppable. Declare it. Louder. Sad the devil notice. Sad the devil notice. The one who conquered the grave is inside you. The one who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel is inside you. The one who declared, I'm the one that lived, and behold, I'm alive forever, is inside you. You're unstoppable. Somebody please declare, say, I'm unstoppable. It's good for me to tell you this because as a man thinking in his heart, so who is he? If you think you are small, you will be small. If you think you are great, don't worry. You will not be great now. Don't worry. Don't worry. Greatness is on the way. And it must surely come. The spirit of man is as infinite as God, if it will partner with God. Write it down. The spirit of man is as infinite as God, if it will partner with God. That's why Jesus Christ says, for with God, all things are possible. If you will connect with God, there is nothing stopping you in the universe. Somebody say, I hear. And Jesus said it on the other way. Whether you want to see the glass as half full or as half empty, it's your business. He said it the other way. He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So if you are looking at the possibility side, with God, all things are possible. How many things are possible? Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. And he said it the other way, with God, nothing. There's nothing. Listen to this. When people were rebelling against God in Genesis chapter 11, am I talking to somebody here today? Is somebody hearing me? You are angry with me. I will say what God asked me to say. Because a champion will emerge from here today. Somebody will emerge from here. It's just a couple of 1, 2, 3 years. And the whole world will be singing your song. In chapter 11, when they were in rebellion against God, God said they should scatter all over the earth and populate the earth. And they refused. They decided that at Babel, they were going to build a tower in rebellion against God and were going to reach the heavens. They want to be shaking hands with God. He said, we should scatter. We're not going to scatter. We will stay here. And they agreed together. And God said, come. God took cancer. Let's go down. They are speaking the same language. And there is nothing they imagine to do that will be restrained from them. Everything they want to do, even in their state of rebellion, they will do it. Let's go and stop them. If God did not stop them, they would not be stopped. God himself said, those fallen, rebellious people working contrary to his will, if he didn't stop them, they will achieve their dream. What? There is nothing the human spirit cannot accomplish if it is in partnership with God. The devil can't stop you if you're in partnership with God. Men can't stop you. Those guys in chapter 11 of Genesis were unstoppable. It took God himself to go and stop them. So, and I don't see anybody here who wants to walk contrary to the will of God. If you walk in contrary to the will of God, you want to walk contrary to the will of God, you don't belong here. If you don't want to do his will, you don't belong here. So, which means you are unstoppable. Please, somebody declare, say, I am unstoppable. So, stir up yourself. Pursue your dream. Don't stop. That you are small today doesn't mean you are small. It's a matter of time. You will end up great. The tallest tower that exists on earth today started from the ground. The greatest ministry that exists on earth today started small. Small. Take the first small step. One small step. Another small step. Another small step. Another small step. Don't stop. And before you know it, you are up there. Somebody has defined a big shot like this. Who is a big shot? The big shot is a small shot that keeps shooting. It keeps shooting. It keeps shooting. It keeps shooting. It keeps shooting. And it doesn't stop. It keeps shooting. It doesn't stop. It keeps shooting. Moji. One CD release now. Another one release. Another one release. Another one release. You don't. Before you say Jack, you'll be talking of 70 albums. And who knows? One will hit greatness in the east, another will hit greatness in the west, another will hit greatness in the south, another will hit greatness in the north, and before you know it, there's great global greatness. Who is set for global greatness here? Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh God of heaven, in this house today, raise pastors of mega churches. Mega churches. 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 25,000, 50,000, 75,000, 100,000, mega churches, mega churches, mega churches. Lord, raise mega authors that will publish the revelation of your word globally. Raise mega musicians whose music will shake the globe. Shake the globe. Shake the globe. Let the unction for greatness rest upon your people. Receive it. Receive it. The anointing for greatness. Receive it. Receive it. You will break every barrier. Every barrier. Every barrier. Whatever the enemy has planned to stop you today, we stop it. We stop it. You are unstoppable. 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 Somebody stand on your feet and lift your right hand to God. Say, Father, let the anointing for greatness rest upon me now. under the anointing that will make me unstoppable. Rest upon me. Now, everything the enemy has sent to stop me, I crush them. Now. Can you pray for yourself? The anointing for greatness. The anointing that makes me unstoppable to rest upon me now. The anointing that will make me keep shooting. One step, another step, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, the anointing that makes me unstoppable, I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatever it is that the enemy has sent to stop me, whatever, I crush it in the name of Jesus. If that agent is within my home, within my family, the enemy has sent that agent to stop me from home, I crush it. Whatever the enemy has sent to stop me, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I crush it. And I declare I'm unstoppable. I will reach my goal. I will fulfill my destiny. I will glorify God on the earth. I will finish the work he has sent me to do. Sickness will not stop me. Demons will not stop me. Principalities will not stop me. Nothing will stop me. I'm unstoppable. Discouragement will not stop me. Failure will not stop me. Setback will not stop me. I am unstoppable. Thank you, Lord. Bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Put your hands on your head. That anointing that rested upon Jesus, that made him unstoppable. Herod wanted to stop him. Herod failed. They wanted to throw him down the hill. They failed. Every attempt to stop him, they failed until he fulfilled his destiny. That same unction that made Jesus unstoppable, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Ah, that unction that made Jesus start small, 12 people, and he has become the global phenomenon with billions answering his name. And there is no human being on earth that will say he has not heard of the name of Jesus before. That unction that starts small and ends up great, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Whatever the enemy have been trying to use to stop you, every discouragement, every weakness, every ill health, every demon, every family feud, every confusion, every lack, whatever the enemy have been trying to use to stop you, we crush it. We release you to fly. In destiny fulfillment, you will fly. You will fly. From today, every lost ground, you will recover. With speed. With speed. With speed. With speed. In the next 12 calendar months, God will give you great speed. Great speed. Great speed. Great speed. Great speed. God will surprise you. It is settled. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give the Lord Adonai, give him a big hand. Clap like you are serious now. Blessed be his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Announce to seven people. Say, look at me very well. I am unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. Look at me very well. I'm unstoppable. Baba Bishop, look at me very well. I'm unstoppable. Mama, look at me. I'm unstoppable. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. I am unstoppable. 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 Come on, give the Lord a shout. He'll be unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. Talking about glory today. Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to read verses 1 to 7 together. That's the scripture I want to start this ministration with. 1, 2, are you there? Isaiah 60. 1 to 7. We read now. 1, 2, read aloud. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the battles shall arise. Lift up thy eyes, run about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nurses at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense and they shall shew forth the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth as minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Lord, let your word be enlarged to us. Magnify your commandment. Make it plain. Feed your people. Give us direction. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say amen. Say, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Praise God. You can arise only after the glory has come upon you. And arise, we're talking about here, it does not mean you are sitting down, you stand up. It may mean that spiritually. Or it means moving into a new realm of visibility. A new realm of prominence. Coming out of oblivion. Coming out of a place where your glory had been covered. Or the impact or the influence of your glory had been limited. Jesus Christ said, no man lights a candle and puts it under the bushel. Even though the light is shining there, but nobody takes notice because it is wrongly located. But you remove the lamp from that wrong place and you put it on the lampstand where it will give light to all of the house. That is what it means to arise. And it is when glory comes, it says, arise, shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. There is no arising until glory comes. There'll be struggle. There'll be labor. There'll be efforts. I'll be walking. Planning. Talking. And there's nothing to show. But when the glory breaks, then prominence follows. Relevance follows. Significance follows. You move into a new realm. You break forth. By the mercy of God, you will break forth. You arise only when the glory comes. You shine only when the glory comes. You can see from here that glory, the glory makes you visible. When the glory is on you, you are visible. They say in our local parlance here, when don't go mature, Go no. The glory of God breaking upon you means jungle has matured. The people that were not taking note of you before begin to take note. There are people whose names you know now, their names ring a bell, and they are being celebrated everywhere. And 10 years ago, you don't know anything about them, correct? 20 years ago, you don't know anything about them, correct? But you point in time, they broke forth into prominence. The time has come, you will break forth. Amen. Somebody please declare, say, the time has come. I will break forth. Don't keep quiet, say, the time has come. I will break forth. Say it again, say, the time has come. I will break forth. Tell your neighbor, say, the time has come. You will break forth. Praise the Lord. If you look at this scripture, I'm going to bring some further scripture. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible talks of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was born, Matthew chapter 2. Okay, let's read from verse 1. Look at what the scripture says there. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Look at what they said. They said, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. There was a breaking of a glory that was uncommon. The one who appeared in the firmament is the King of Glory himself. And they saw it. The wise saw it. You see, when the glory of God rises upon you, you cannot be hid. You cannot. I'm going to share some scriptures here today. And I deliberately decided to go slowly to expand the scripture. You may forget my word, but you dare not forget the word of the Lord. Look at this. He said, we have seen his stars. We have seen his stars. And I want to declare by the mercy of God, prophetically, they will see your star.
Amen.
They will see your star.
Amen.
He said, we have seen his star. We have seen his star. And then look at this. We have seen his star and are come. When the glory comes on you, your light becomes visible. And then it attracts. People will come. Converts will come. The wise will come. The rich will come. The poor will come. The great will come. God, they see a light. Glory naturally attracts. Naturally. If you look at the scripture we read the other time, in Isaiah chapter 61, that scripture, you know, there are a lot of things there about what happens when the glory breaks. All right? Now, I'll show you something. Look at this now. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen on thee. That is the latter part of verse 2. And verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come. Underline that, shall come. When the glory begins to break forth, you attract all manner of stuff. People will come. They will leave the confines of Jerusalem. They will go to the wilderness where John the Baptist was. And they will locate him there. Could I say glory? They will leave Ikoyi and Victoria Island in Lagos. And they go to a jungle in Redemption Camp. Because there is a glory there. Glory naturally attracts. I think most of us, we put high premium on publicity. I do publicity. Evangelists do publicity. The larger the merrier. But let's seek the glory first. Let the glory break. Let the glory break. And they must come. There is something about glory that attracts them. Your life and your ministry will become attractive.
Amen.
Now, you look at that scripture. Look at it. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to their light. And kings to the brightness of their rising. Kings. Here it was the wise people. They come. Gentiles shall come. Kings shall come. Lift up their eyes round about. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. They come. Somebody said they come. Louder. Louder. Because now the glory is on you. The glory attracts them. Because there is something attractive about the glory. And when they come again. Because the glory meets their needs. You know, one of my sons was telling me, and said, "Daddy, you see, in the new generation church, yes, we should package. The package. So too, we should package. Packaging like this, packaging like that, packaging like this, packaging like that. How many of you understand packaging? Package the altar, package this, package that, package the sanctuary, package, put stained glass window, put AC, put package, 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 package. Someone say package. I said, fine. I believe in packaging. I do. Because I want to be relevant. But if there is good packaging, first class packaging, and the glory is not there, it is empty. Packaging doesn't save souls. Packaging doesn't heal the sick. Packaging does not deliver the oppressed. I am absolutely for packaging. Somebody say, I hear. I am absolutely for it. I'm not against anybody packaging. They don't package nonsense. Don't whitewash the sepulchre. There must be something to package. Hello? I know that in the business world, they pay more for packaging than the real substance. If you buy a tin of milk, hello, the cost of that tin is more than the cost of the milk inside. Am I correct? But what value is a tin of milk with no milk inside? You didn't hear me. Somebody say, I hear. The substance first, and then the packaging. Can somebody say amen? Let me tell you this, point blank. Let there be all manner of packaging. You can attract the crowd that are going to hell. They are sick and broke. Wait a minute. Let there be no packaging and let there be substance. They will come and they will come and they will come and they will come. At a point in time, they say, Daddy, Daddy, this thing that is flowing here is better than this environment. Leave it to us. We will create the environment. We value what is going on here. We will package. Please, did you understand what I'm saying? I'm not against packaging, but I'm talking of the glory is the thing we package. What do we package? Glory. Talk to me. Glory. Talk to me. Glory. Please go for packaging, but go for glory fast. I will tell you how to go for glory. Come on. Spend quality time in his presence. A little Shambhala here, Shambhala there. And you take quality time to be there. You take quality time. You're not in a hurry. You're not in a hurry. Marapa kabayaba. On your face, 7 hours. Horipa koba kabukuda. Karamahandikae. Speaking in tongues, 3 hours, nonstop. You come out of that place, the glory will be upon you. Then let your children package the glory. Hello, somebody here. Whosoever wants to package the glory, please package it. One of my sons came and looked at the altar and said, Dad, this altar is not good. I said, what do you want to do? He said, want to package the altar. I said, fine, carry on, package the altar. Leave me, I'll go and package the glory. After you have packaged the altar, I will stand on the altar and glory will flow. Can somebody say amen? Yes. If you package the altar and you make it the most beautiful in the world, and no life, no word from heaven, no grace, no anointing. They can clap and yell, but the hold of sin in their life is not broken. This is a malaise that is going on now in the body of Christ. And I should speak as a father. We hold conventions and conferences, and speakers will come. Everybody will applaud. At the end of the day, no altar call is given. I spoke in Lagos at a meeting, big conference. Spoke first time, give altar call. Who gave their lives to Christ? I took the last 3 days. The second time I spoke was for ministers. I didn't have a leading to give altar call because the ministers meeting. If the Holy Spirit told me to give altar call, I would give altar call. I've given altar call before. Ministers came to give their lives to Christ. Third day, final day, the house was packed. Healings, deliverance. Women who have problem about having children, we took time to minister to them. Of course, I took an offering. Not the big stuff. I said, now, everybody stand. If you want to give your life to Christ, he died for you on the cross. I spoke. I said, come on there. The altar was packed with so many people. When I got to the green room and were entertaining me before leaving, the pastor said, Daddy, you are the last speaker. We've had a great time. And you are the only one who gave altar call. It means that I've been running for 1 week. I came the last 2 days. Preach evening, following morning, and evening. I was the only one who gave altar call. I said, what did you just say? You're the only one who gave altar call. What about, and big shots in this nation have been there. Who will preach and the roof will rattle? I say, didn't so and so speak? He said, yes. What about so and so? I say, come on, Bishop. You can't be serious. I was the only one to first give altar call. What am I preaching? I'll preach. And I won't give altar call. And the people that are not saved that are in the house, we sit under a good sermon and slide to hell. And God will ask me about their blood. And the point there is that this big shot, big name, modern day preachers, they won't forget to take offering. They won't forget it. But they will forget to give altar call. Shame. Somebody say shame. Shame. You are not talking. Maybe because you are one of them. Say shame. They won't forget to take offering. They won't forget to call for seed. But they will skip the altar call. You mean I will put all the billboards in town, invest thousands of dollars and bring Don Mohen, park Liberty Stadium, and then we'll have some nice sermons, good clapping hands, you sing with Don Mohen, and you go home. No altar call. Someone say shame.
Shame.
You are not talking.
Shame.
We gave altar call 2 times.
Yes,
any witness here?
Yes,
if I had the third opportunity, we'll give altar call. If I had the fourth opportunity, we give out a call. So if the sword of one miss it, the sword of the other won't miss it. So that everybody that is present in their house will hear of the one who died on the cross. The one who shed his blood. The one who gave his life. Because we're not preaching the cross anymore. It is motivational teaching that have taken over our altars. And we end it with taking offering to our shame. Whereas, if we preach the crucified one, money will come. We'll follow. Because we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One of my sons came from South Africa. He preached a very powerful message. I thought he was going to give out a call. He didn't. When he came and he greeted me, I pulled his ear. I said, you preach well. You didn't give out a call. A friend of mine came from Germany, Eckhart. He brought a raw message of the cross. I was dancing where I was sitting. Message. And when he gave altar call, people ran forward. I said, people will get truly saved when they hear that message. Because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but it is power to those that are being saved. Let's go back to the cross. Turn to your neighbor, say, let's go back to the cross. tell somebody and say, let's go back to the cross. Help me tell him, if you want your ministry to be powerful, approved of God, with signs and wonders, let's go back to the cross. Somebody say, I hear. You didn't hear. Now, turn to somebody and say, if you want to see the glory, if you want to see the glory in your ministry, let's go back to the cross. You are telling me, Pastor Adeboye will preach, I don't give altar call. What's he doing on the pulpit? What's he doing on the pulpit? We're called to do what Jesus Christ did. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek them that are lost and to save them. Now we just want the people to clap, want people to sing, want people to give, including sinners that are not saved, give, and they go to hell. Shame. One Holy Ghost convention that held here, I think that was the 30th annual convention some 5 years ago. We've had meetings. Ooh. We've had preachings. We've had, of course, if you forget altar call on my altar, I will do the altar call. We've had altar calls. And the last day was a Sunday. The whole place was packed. Many of you were there. Pastor Adeboye came. And he presented his message. Very simple. Direct. No jumping up and down. No gesticulation. No shouting or screaming. He finished and he gave out a call. And I was shocked. I mean, shocked. The number of converts, that single meeting, the seventh day of the convention, was much more than all the previous 6 days put together, including the night vigil. And the man of God, he did not forget altar call. Forget altar call. Pastor Adeboye would rather forget his right hand than to forget altar call. People who preach to a crowd at convention and they don't give altar call, they are jesters. We should call them their names. Because I learned, when I was talking to my son that came to me yesterday, I learned the practice had become rampant all over the place. Rampant. All over, at conventions, at meetings. And say, Daddy, you who are fathers, call us back to the old path. They will come to meeting, they will talk, they will psych everybody up, they will take offering, but there will be no altar call. How many of you have seen it happen before? It's time it stopped. That's jesting. Have you seen now that Islam is in ascendancy in Nigeria? How many of you know? And the church is complaining about Islam. Did you hear the complaint? Hello? Islamization of Nigeria. Did you hear it? It's valid. There's an Islamic agenda. But let's talk about evangelization of Nigeria. Let everybody that is called by a Christian name go on the offensive. Preach the gospel. Witness. That is what happened in the 70s when revival broke in this nation. Everybody. When God raised Pastor Kunyi in Lagos, every bus you enter in Lagos, you hear somebody preach. Every damn phone in the body, you hear somebody preach. Let's go on. And you see, when we were doing that, Islam couldn't stand us. Now there are big churches in Sokoto, in Kano, in Katsina, in all over the place. Am I correct? Now we are celebrating our success. That's what we are doing now. We have big churches. We are calling big meetings. We are not on the offensive in evangelism anymore. We are doing big convention, celebrate, and have very nice, high-sounding sermons. Everybody clap, and then the church is blessed and prosperous. Everybody, they will call for money. Everybody will give, and we forget altar call. And the people that sit at such a convention, they don't go again with an urge, an anointing to go and win souls. Now, what we use to rate success is different. We're not talking of souls anymore. We're talking of the size of cars. Hello? Can I talk? We're talking of the size of sanctuary. We're talking of university. We're talking of the convoy that follow you. Even small boys are riding convoys. Rider with light. First car, second car. The convoy is long, but the ministry is small. Because our priority, our measure of success is now different. We're not preaching the crucified. We're not pushing the cross. We're not going after souls like we used to go after them. We're not invading the north like we used to invade. Listen to this. If the church will lift up the cross, there is no devil that can stand. Yes, somebody say amen. Amen. The cross finished the devil completely forever. Wait a minute. Islam is not a threat to the church in Nigeria. The complacency of the church is the threat. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. There will be no time that Islam will not attack the church. There will be no time, there will be no opposition. But preach the cross. Turn to your neighbor, say, preach the cross. And Islam must bow. The cross is superior to anything the devil can devise. Somebody say, I hear. Somebody say, I hear. You didn't hear. You didn't hear. You didn't hear. How many of you want to see glory upon the church again? Let's preach the cross. Now, tell somebody, if you want to see the glory upon the church again, let's preach the cross. Let's preach the cross. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen to this. We are more than 120 here. We are hundreds here today. Maybe 500, maybe 600, maybe 7. Maybe close to 1,000. There were only 120 in the upper room. After the anointing came on them, they went out. Study all the messages in Acts of the Apostle. All. They preached nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Everywhere, the cross. The one who died. The one who rose again. The one who is alive. The one who is Lord of all. In the midst of opposition, stones upon their heads, cudgels on their backs, Paul had to be suspended from a basket through a window to escape, and the gospel triumphed. Very soon they were saying this, that have turned the world upside down have come. Islam is no threat. Somebody repeat, say Islam is no threat. They tell you that, oh, what happened to Turkey? May it not happen to Nigeria. Saying it alone will not stop it. If we continue the way we are doing, it will happen. We're celebrating success, celebrating money, celebrating big cars, celebrating big campsites, celebrating the latest universities. They are very good. And we neglect to push the cross. Then Nigeria will become like Turkey. Somebody say, God forbid. I didn't hear you. But if we refuse to be carried away by our success, so-called, the size of your car, God bless you and your car, the length of your convoys, God bless you and your convoys, the size of your campsite, God bless you and your campsite, and the amount of development there, maybe it is 20 times the size of Redemption Camp, God bless you and your campsite, and the size of your university is the best in the world, God bless you and your university, and your latest pet project, celebrate your latest pet project, but not at the expense of the cross. If we are celebrating those successes, and we're pushing the cross. Islam is under our feet. They will kill some of us, but the cross will prevail. They will stone many of us, but the cross will prevail. They would do their own appointments. There are 16 positions to be given strategically, and they took 14, and they gave us 2. Fine. They will succeed for some time. But let's keep pushing the cross, and the cross will push them out. Wait a minute. The ringleaders of those that are persecuting the church will become the ringleaders of those that are preaching the cross. The church in Nigeria has no greater defense than the cross. The church in Nigeria is under threat, yes. Even our prayer is not a defense. In the midst of our prayer meeting, they will overrun us and set us on fire, and they will prevail. If we don't preach the cross, if we push the cross in Lagos, in Ibadan, in Port Harcourt, in Enugu, in Makurdi, in Abuja, in Kano, in Katsina, there will be hurt some of us, but the cross will prevail. Someone said the cross will prevail. You are not talking. They will lock some of us in prison, but the cross will prevail. Someone said the cross will prevail. At the end of the day, the jailers will ask, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? The people that are taking care of the clothes of those that are persecuting the church, they will become apostles in the church. But if the church continues to behave like we are behaving, we're doing a big convention, we're talking about everything but the cross, we're raising money, and we forget altar call. Shame. While we're enjoying our convention, they will overrun us. They will burn us to the ground, and the heaven will not lift a finger. Because we are after our own agenda. We're not pursuing the agenda of heaven. Let the church in Nigeria wake from slumber. Let the preachers who have decided now to take the label of motivational speakers rather than the representative of the crucified, let them change their mind. The messages that have been preached now were not the messages we were preaching that made us to become powerful, that made us to become relevant, that made us to become people whose representative is occupying the Aso Villa. If we go back to the messages we were preaching when we were small, there will be glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. If we go back to the messages we are preaching when we were struggling, there will be glory. If all we do now is to celebrate our success, quote and unquote, what happened in Turkey will surely happen. Surely. This is not preaching anymore. This is a prophetic cry. There is no Islam. There is no devil. There is no demon that can stop the church. The owner of the church, the crucified one, he said, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But when the church is playing his own game, preaching his own message, not pushing the cross, we want to be politically correct. We don't want to hurt anybody. Has the offense of the cross ceased? Those that are born of the flesh, we still persecute those that are born of the spirit. In those days, we didn't mind persecution? We didn't. We know the scripture. It said, if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he will suffer persecution. And we were glad. And we're here. Let the church go back to the cross, and there shall be glory. I think I will leave the rest of the message. The Holy Spirit will take me off. Let the church go back to the cross, and there will be glory. Help me preach to your neighbor. Let the church go back to the cross, and there will be glory. Our glory flows from the cross. Without the cross, there is no glory. Get me that song, that hymn, the old rugged cross. We'll sing that. Let's go back. And everybody here, hello? Are you there? Are you there? If you like, give me money. If you like, don't give me money. Now you sabi. If you give me money, you'll be blessed. Now you sabi. But if I, listen, if I can get everybody that is here today committed to preaching the cross at whatever, the glory will break. The church is becoming the church in Nigeria. Wait a minute. The church in Nigeria is becoming like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of those days. Attention seekers. We'll pray in the prominent place, one prominent seat. We want to be politically relevant. We want to identify with the latest governor, even if there are blood in his hand. Even if they kill and murder and shed innocent blood to get to the position of being a governor, we want to identify. Because when we go there, a couple of millions will follow us back home. Shame. Shame. We want to look for every opportunity to go to Aston Villa and pose with them and let it come out in a photograph so everybody will know we're powerful. Shame. Let's go back to the cross. The cross. Someone say the cross. If I get everybody here truly committed to the cross, we are more than enough. We are more than enough to bring the glory back to Zion. All over the nation now, we hold big meetings, big convention. We are competing with it. Very good. If the substance is solid. But all we are doing now is celebrating our success, celebrating our glory, and calling for money. There's nothing wrong in calling for money if it is to push the cross. If it is not to consume it on our own loss. That's what we're doing now. Big meetings all over the place, all over all our jamboree. And the message is not the message of the cross anymore. Not what the master said. It's not the message that will bring glory. We think we have glory. Like Laodicean Church. And we do not know that we are blind. We are miserable. We have lost the way. Let's go back to the cross. Let's preach the crucified. Let's get people born again. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. We sing it though. But what we do is different. Now the cross is an emblem of shiny cars, limousine. The other day, one young man, one son in Lagos, they even advertised ahead that they were going to interview so-so-so in the Punch newspaper. So Sunday they bought it for me. I think it took about 6 pages of the newspaper. I don't know what he was doing. He must have paid. Some of you will have read it. And I was reading. First, I saw the picture of a very long limousine from here to there. I said, this is the car of oppressors. I said, I don't mind if a preacher of the gospel writes it, provided he's preaching the word. Let me read what is easy. I read about it. boast about the number of cars, the length of cars. I still, I'm okay. I have thick skin. I don't mind prosperity, any degree of prosperity. There's none of my closest friends that is poor. None. You want to call Oedipo poor? Call him poor if you like. He flies his own jet around the world and he bought a jet for his son, David Abioye. You want to call Adeboye poor? Call him poor if you like. It's your business. You want to call Crafodela poor? Those are my friends. I don't have a problem with prosperity. But when that is all you are after, not the message of the cross, it is no longer prosperity, it is materialism. I looked through all the writings in that paper. I didn't see the gospel. I didn't see the care for the poor. I didn't see soul winning agenda. I didn't see church planting agenda. I saw a lot of boasts about clothes, the wardrobe of my wife. Ah! The limousine. And it was a show of shame. I said, when next I see this young man, I know him, I'm going to give him a knock on his head. Like one year, I gave him an opportunity to preach one day. I was preaching on the altar. I was boasting about prosperity, quote unquote. I said, if you get, apart from the cars that I brought here, and I think about four, if you get to my company, you see 19 cars. 19. 19. I was okay. He finishes. And when we're going back, I pull his hair. I said, those 19 cars are for some 19 pastors. You should have give them to 19 pastors who don't have a car. And then they will be praising God for your life. And they will become more efficient in their work. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. For we brought nothing into this world and we take nothing out. There's nothing wrong with 19 cars. If they are for appropriate purposes. Somebody say, I hear. When 19 cars sitting down in your compound to show that you have prosperity is a prosperity of fools. That is where the church in Nigeria, that is how degenerate we have become. And then all of us, when you see their big car, you clap for them. You see the long company, you clap for them. You should shake your head and ease. When you see a true messenger of the cross, you should celebrate. I think I've said enough. I've left my message. If you're going to see the glory, let's go back to the cross.